Ezekiel 37, 1, and actually I'm going to read down through verse 10, Eileen, if you want to put that on there. I didn't get with her for the notes, so you got to do it the old-fashioned way. You got to pay attention. So if you want to know where we're at on that. Ezekiel 37, and we're going to be in start in verse 1. And the Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and was commanded as I prophesied there, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, our fellowship, our singing. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day. And now I pray that you can clear our minds, Lord, that we can think, Lord, upon your word. And Lord, use it. Lord, I pray we're transformed through your word. And I pray for the salvation of those that may be here who have never trusted you as their Savior. We ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, I didn't get all the notes with Eileen. A lot of things going on. But anyway, the title, What Valley Are You In? The Bible says that Ezekiel was carried by the Lord into a and he had a vision of a valley of dry bones. As I was getting this together, I thought about it. It was kind of ironic that the name of our church is Valley View Baptist Church. I never understood that, honestly, because we don't have a view of the valley. We have a view of the mountains because we're in the valley. But anyway, wouldn't have been my choice, but that's what we are, Valley View Baptist Church. And I understand that, you know, the text mainly applies to the nation of Israel, but it's easily applied to the church and easily applied to individual believers or individual people. And that's really my concern today as us as a church and us as a people or as an individual person. And so with that question in mind, what valley are you in? I want to just look at three valleys this morning. The number one, we see a valley of death. In Ezekiel 1 through 3, Ezekiel said he was carried out in the spirit of the Lord, set down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, a valley full of bones. And of course, if you didn't or you don't picture it this way, it's a valley of human bones. It's not just animal bones. It's a valley of human bones. And it actually says that the valley was full of bones. And then he went on to say, and he says in verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold. That means that the Spirit of the Lord said, listen, I want you to look at it. I want you to see that there's a valley, you know, full of bones. And you know what? We think about this when we live, the world that we live in today, really, and the Bible's clear on this, that Satan blinds the minds, he blinds our minds to actually what's going on in the world. And I don't know how you view the world or how it is as a whole, the overall scope of things, but I want you to notice something, that without Jesus Christ, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, that you're spiritually dead, so you're definitely in the spiritual sense walking in a valley of bones. You're actually are the bones that's in the valley. And then as we look at the world scene that we're living in today, we look at the political situation, the economic situation, and we look at unrest and uncertainty. When we look around at the what's going on in the world, we see wreckage. We see wreckage of families, wreckage of marriages, alcohol, drugs, pornography, homosexuality, disobedience, disrespect, gluttony, a world that's drunk on money, power, and entertainment. We see pride, selfishness. We see violence, murder. You can't go to school without worrying about being shot. And you can't go to church without worrying about being shot. And I mean, there's things that are going on, and it's all the time. It's a constant thing. And unfortunately, when you look around the world, there's a lot of people that are walking through the world, and they don't look at that picture. You know, they don't see that. They don't really see how, what, you know, the direction that the world is going. And I'm going to tell you, the world is not going closer to God. It left, I mean, when Adam and Eve were born, they were as close to God as you could get. I mean, they were living in the Garden of Eden, and God walked with them and communed with them, and then sin entered into the world, and it separated from God. And from that time on, the first murder took place when a brother murdered his brother. Cain murdered Abel, and then there we went down hill from there, and God destroyed the world by a flood because it was of the violence and the wickedness in it, and then we started over again. And man, look at us now. We're down to this point. So this world is not drifting to better, or you know, to goodness or betterness, if I can put that in context, or to greatness or to a spiritual state or closer with God. I mean, we are living in a world that's really full of bones. I mean, in more ways than one. And so God says, he said, listen, I want you to prophesy to these bones. He said they were dry bones. And at that point just is that they were dead a long time. And that's the bones that we see in the world that we're living in today. And, you know, when you think about that, and he says, listen, he sets them down. He said, I want you to look at these bones. I try to put myself in whoever's place in the Bible that I'm preaching about, just trying to think. Very first thing that's going to pop up in your mind, or it did in mine, and I may think different than you, probably do. But if I was sitting down in the middle of a valley of dry bones, you know, what in tarnation, right? My son sent me something funny about that. You know, that's what I'm thinking. What happened? There was a valley full of human bones, skulls and all that. The very first thing that's going to pop in your mind, I mean, it would pop in mine, is what happened. There was some kind of a catastrophe. There was some kind of a defeat. Looks like an army, probably, to have that many bones in one place. Looks like maybe there was a war. Maybe there was a defeat. It was a disaster of some sort. And so, as I said, you know, we're living in the world today. Listen, man, I know the glass half full, the glass half empty. Hey, there's some good things out there in the world. I understand that. But don't be so blinded by them that you can't see the disaster that is the world without God. It's a disaster of a world without God. That's really what it is. Then you look on the church scene. It's not any different than the world scene. We got the same problem. We got to wreck marriages. We got wreck families. We got pornography. We got fornication. We got dope, alcohol, no respect, self-consumed. We've got racism, all those things going on. And then we just look at the church itself. We're in the valley of traditionalism, legalism, sensationalism, professionalism. I mean, everything's going on in the church. It's nothing like the church that God intended for it to be. You look in Revelation chapter 3. We look at the Laodicean church, and man, it said, you know what? They looked around, the Laodicean church looked around, and they said, you know what? We're rich. We're increased in goods. Not unlike America today, by the way. We're increased in goods, and we don't have need of nothing. And that's the biggest problem with the church today, because we got, listen, the heat's on. I know some of you might be cold, but it's running. The heat's on. We got air conditioning. We got lights. We got a roof on our head. Man, we got a nursery boy. We got musical instruments, and we got all. And we, well, what do we need? We don't need nothing. We got a church. You know what? We need God. I'm going to tell you, we need the Holy Spirit of God to be breathed on us. And that's our problem. And it's a problem because of where we live, because we live in America, because we eat every day, because we got a roof over our head. You know what? We can get by without God. And the church thinks like the world does. We think we can get by without God. But look what's happening. What kind of an impact does the church have on the world today? Huh? What kind of an impact does the gospel message, or what kind of an impact does the church have on even the people that are in the membership or in the congregations themselves? What kind of impact does it have on their lives? It doesn't have any, because I can't do it. See, I can listen. I got jokes, man. You know I'm a funny guy. I can keep you entertained from now till it's time to go. I got one joke after the other. My wife said I shouldn't tell some of them, and I don't. Listen, I can entertain you. I can read you stuff out of the Bible, and I can alliterate it, and I can illustrate it, and I can tell you what it means, and I can look up the Greek, and I can get all that straight. I got it all straight. I can do that. But you know what? That's not necessarily going to change your life. Because you got to have the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, we have to have the Holy Spirit of God. If He's not here at this service, I'm telling you, we're wasting our time. Amen. Nothing's going to happen. We're just burning up some time till lunch. That's it. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see that on the church scene and the Laodicean church. They didn't even know that they needed anything because, listen, they get satisfied. They're satisfied, the Laodicean church, and we're living in that age today. That church was satisfied with where they were spiritually. And this is what I see on the Christian scene today. Not everybody, but a lot. A majority of people in church, they're just satisfied with where they are in their relationship with God. They don't want to get any closer to God because they're afraid God's going to shake their world up. They don't want to get any closer to God because they know they got stuff in their life that God's going to say, listen, you need to get that out. And they don't want it. So they just... We're just neutral, man. We're going to go to church. We're going to sit down at whatever time we sit down. We're going to sing a couple songs and take an offering. Paul's going to sing to us or somebody. And then the preacher's going to hopefully get done around 12. And I ain't going to make it today. I'm going to tell you that right now. And he's going to get done at a certain time. And then we're going to pack up and grab our Bibles, knock the dust off of them. And we're going to head out to the car and go home. We're going to come back next week and do it again. Nothing happened. That's what we expect. That's what we expect, and so we see that on the church scene today. But then Ezekiel, the Lord asked Ezekiel, he said, let me ask you something. He said, can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel, pretty smart. Humanly speaking, we're going to say, uh-uh, nah, man. And I'm going to tell you what, I've been around Christians and I've been around churches, and somebody said, hey, what he's really saying, is there any hope? Is there any hope? And, you know, humanly speaking, say, uh-uh. No, there ain't no hope. There's no hope. But Ezekiel was smart, see, and he knew God. He said, with God, all things are possible. And he said, you know, Lord. He didn't even want to say it. He didn't even want to say, yeah, they can live. No, he said, you know. You know whether these bones can live, and I tell you what, they can live, but it's going to take God, and no human being's going to get them to live. And I'm telling you what, I can't get your bones to live, and nobody can. Only God. Amen. Only God. And he's the one. And he said, you know what, Lord? You know. You know if these bones can live or not. There's some hope. There's hope. And so then we move to the next valley. And this is the valley, what I call it, the valley of life. Now I want to tell you something. There's a difference between life and living. The Bible talks about the abundant life. You know, living life to its fullest, right? I'm going to tell you what, I go down there, I'm the chaplain down at the Bryan Center, down at that nursing home down there. That's a vent, what they call a ventilator. They call it vent for short. Ventilator nursing home. Everybody, just about everybody in there is on a ventilator or has been. If they get better, they take them off of it. Now, you think you got it bad, and you start moping around feeling sorry for yourself one day, come on with me, go down there. We'll go down there and make a little visit. And you go down there, and you can get up there and help me wipe the snot off their faces because nobody's in there taking care of them, and you got to do it or you got to look at it, one or the other, and I don't feel like doing it either. But I go up there and wipe their face off clean, and I hope to God if I ever get in that state, somebody have enough compassion on me to wipe my face off. I go down there and wipe their faces off, and you want to see how it is? I'm going to tell you something. They're living. They're alive. They got a pulse. But it's not the abundant life. And there's a lot of people who think, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what, you can wag your head back and forth at the spiritual condition of a lot of people, that even Christian people that are saying that they're alive in Christ and that they have, and we should have the abundant life, and you got to go over there and you got to feel their neck or feel their wrist right here to see if they got a pulse, to see if there's any sign of life in them. Huh? They're alive, but they're not living the abundant life. That's the scene. That's the Christian scene. And I'm saying not everybody there. But, you know, this is life, you know. And so there's any hope. And so, like I said, Ezekiel knew it. So where do you got to start? Well, here it is in verse 4. Isn't it great? You know, God asks questions sometimes, and God gives you an answer too. He said, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is the key. Can these bones live? Yeah. How are you going to live? You got to hear the word of God. You've got to hear the word of the Lord. And that's it. It was preaching. That's what he's talking about. Listen, he didn't say, okay, look, go out there and build a playground and these bones are going to live. Or you got to have a coffee shop and these bones are going to live. Or we got to get a praise band and these bones are going to live. Nothing wrong with those things, but I'm just saying that's not going to give you spiritual life. What he said is, can these bones live? Yep. He said, well, you know, Lord. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach to them the word of God. And you can't get away from it. You got to have the word of God. Like I said a week ago or 2 weeks ago, brother, if we fed on the word of God like we feed on the Christmas turkey, and we fed on the Christmas turkey like we do usually the word of God, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. Huh? We'd be slimmer, and we'd be more spirit-filled. You know, the word of God. You can't get away. All the other stuff is just fluff. It's just fluff. Hey, we could be out here in the middle of a field. We don't have to have the building. I'm glad we got it. But we don't have to have nothing else but the word of God. The other stuff is nice, but we don't have to have it. But we get in our brain that we got to have all the other stuff to the neglect of the word of God, and then we wonder why we're dead. We've got to have the word of God. That's what he did. He preached the word of God. You know, Jesus didn't have all those other things. Jesus didn't have that. He was the word. He preached the word. And he said, preach it. And the command was for the dry bones to hear the word of God. Now, you married people know this. There's a lot of difference between hearing and listening. Huh? You with me on that? Huh? You know, you hear sometimes, but you just don't listen. And I mean, we both do it. I do it. My wife, we kid each other all the time about that. Or we get aggravated, one or the other. Huh? About you don't listen and you don't hear. Now, not only do we need to hear the word of God, we need to listen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, which means living. It's going to give you life, right? And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God. It says it's quick and powerful. Quick means living. As I said, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by how? By the word of God. Which liveth and abideth forever. That's the word of God. This is what gives life right there. And so listen, Ezekiel, we were talking about that concept of faith. You know, how do you please God or a living sacrifice, or how do you exercise faith. Faith is when you do something that you think it doesn't seem right in the human realm. And the Lord said, listen, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to these bones right here. Well, I do it every week. He said, I preach to some dead dire bones every week. I used to say, people say, well, do you have a deaf ministry? Uh-huh. Yeah, I got a deaf ministry. Preach to them all the time, right? But it didn't seem, you know, I can think of Ezekiel now. I preach to bones. Are you kidding me? But he did it. He did it. He said, I'm going to preach to these bones. And then look what it says. This is the life part. It says in verse 7. I prophesied as I was commanded. Good job. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then in verse 8, when I beheld, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So, boy, we see the sinews and the flesh and the skin, all the elements of a living body. It even said there was noise. Now, see, you look around here, I talked about the world being a valley of dry bones. There's a lot of noise going on in the world, isn't it? Satan has got us so, I was reading in the devotion book this morning, and Satan has got us so, I forgot how the gist of it, I can't quote what it said, but I can tell you what it meant. And it's just, there's so much noise and all in our life, in our background, that there's very little time to see, be still and know that I am God. That's what it was. Be still and know that I'm God. Some of you probably read that. How often do you just really sit and you just meditate on things about life or things about the Word of God or things about God? I mean, man, we got to have radio bumping, man. We shaking and moving. I was learning them dance moves from my granddaughter back there. She's got them too, boy. And we got to have the radio going. We got to have the TV on, man. We got to have something happening, man. We got to plan something. We look on the calendar, boy, and there's a couple of days with nothing going on. Well, we better plan something to fill it in, because what are we going to do if there's nothing to do? Huh? Just think about in the days when there's no TV, no cell phone. Nighttime comes. What do you do? Huh? What do you do? That's why they had 900 kids back in them days. It's another point. Huh? What do you do? There's nothing to do. But you know what? Them people were more spiritual. You know why? Because they thought about eternity. They thought about life and God and the creation and the Creator. They had time for that. And we're living in this rat race world. There's a lot of noise out there, man. I remember in my time, and I've shared this with you, I remember when stuff closed on Sunday. What? You couldn't even buy gas. You couldn't buy gas, man. You better get it on Saturday. You wasn't going to get it on. There was nothing open. There was nothing to do but think about God. Then they had blue laws. This is when we got more liberal. It was open, but you couldn't buy certain things. You smokers were in trouble. Couldn't buy no cigarettes. Couldn't buy no beer. Blue law. Couldn't buy them till Monday. Better stock up on Saturday. Huh? But it's different now. TV, remember? I talked about it. TV went off the air, and some of you young people went, what? Well, we only had three channels to start with. They weren't good, fuzzy looking. Yeah, at 11:30 or 12 o'clock, this is, you know, the end of the thing. It went off and a test pattern on all night long. If you fell asleep, you woke up with the test pattern in black and white. You woke up, thought you was in the twilight zone. You turn it off, and then in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, you turn it on. It had a starting time. Turn it on. This is the beginning of another broadcast day. And they even did a thing from the Word of God. They did a thing about the bread of life on I grew up in Virginia Beach, and it did it on there. Had a thing about God. You don't see that on TV now. Man, you can't pray or nothing on television. Okay? But it was because there's noise. We just got noise, noise, noise. It's a trick of the devil. He's got your mind so occupied, you never have time to think about God. That's what he's doing, just to get to that point right there. So we see a lot of noise. And then we look in the church. We got the same thing. Man, people call me up sometimes and they look at our website and they see the church and they call up and this is what they want to know. Well, what do you got for the young people? What do you got for the old people? What do you got for kids? What kind of songs do you sing? That they never ask me, man, what do you believe for crying out loud about the Word of God? What do you believe doctrinally? It's not always that way, but I mean a lot. What do you believe? What do you got, man? Are you preaching the truth? Are you preaching the Word of God, man? I got to get fed spiritually. And then come running in the church and say, preacher, what do you want me to do? I want to serve God, man. Bless God. What can I do for God? It's always about what do you got for me? I'm going to shovel it out there. Man, because this is what we're at. We got to have noise, man. We got to have something going on, man. Huh? I tried to get the church to vote in where I had a little platform where I floated up out of the floor and we had smoke. I thought that'd be neat, huh? Count him up, you know, and then talk in a real voice, you know, deep voice like that. I mean, we need the Word of God. The other stuff's okay, but we got concerts and ball games and Easter egg hunts and programs and all that. We're making a lot of noise, but we're not impacting anybody's life because we got to have the Word of God. There's no life. Because see, I want you to notice in 7 and 8, it said that flesh and skin and all that came up, but nowhere does it say that they were standing. And I never noticed that, and I've preached on this text before and looked at it for years. And in my mind, I always picture that when the bones came together in a sinews and the flesh and all that, that they were standing, but they weren't. I'll tell you in a second. They weren't standing. They're just still laying down. The bones all came together, and, you know, a bunch of bones, that wouldn't make a lot of racket. It just said that they came together, but it went on and said that there was no breath. That's why. It says there's no breath in them, and it still says they're laying down. And see, it kind of pictures this. It kind of pictures like just hooking up with a church, toting a Bible around, making a lot of racket, but not having a spiritual life. That's the picture. See, we can make a lot of noise, but we still don't have spiritual life in us. There's a difference. There's a difference there. And so then we get to the next valley, and this is where I'll show you something. I really wanted to get to here. The Valley of Victory. This is where we get to the valley. This is a different. This is the abundant life. It's not just living, but it's the abundant life. It's the life, living the life of victory. And I sent out a text at the first of the year. I never do this. I never say, okay, we got a theme for the year. And in 3 weeks, we probably won't have one. We'll forget what it is. But I'm going to tell you what it is, and I want you to think about this year. you know, victory. Living the victorious life. Getting victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can have victory, man. I mean, the Christians are walking around like a defeated army, and we don't have to be. We're not a defeated army. We're always moping around down in the dumps because, oh, look how the world's going. I don't give a rip how the world's going, man. I'm a child of God. You know what? I mean, I'm saved, man. I'm born again, man. God's watching out for me. You know, that I understand that. And so, like I said, there's a difference between sitting in the church with the skin, the snooze, and the flesh, and then God breathing life into you. Now, this is salvation right here. See, what we need is the Spirit. And verse 10 says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them. And look here now. And they lived and stood up upon their feet. See, that tells you it wasn't standing up on their feet when all the bones came together and the flesh and the sinews and all that and the skin came on. They weren't standing. They were laying down. Church, they were laying down. He said, but now the breath came upon them, and they stood upon their feet. And it said, an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. Listen, 1 John 5, 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh, present tense. I'm not real good on English, but I know that. That's present tense, overcometh, not will overcome, not did overcome, but overcometh in the present tense the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Man, it says there, if you're born of God, you overcome the world. I know, man, that there's little circumstantial trials that you go through in life, but we can't walk. How in the world are we going to win the world to Christ if we're walking around with a sourpuss look on our face, can't get the victory over nothing, down in the dumps? Yeah, you ought to come out to our church. It's great. You know, you ought to trust Jesus, man. What a difference it'll make in your life. Look, I got that. I felt like that before I got saved. I mean, you know, we don't have to do that. And Ezekiel, he believed what God said. And he preached the word of God to them old bones, as crazy as it seemed. But he saw the power of God. See, you see the power of God. And this is a short little message right there. You just do what God says and you'll see the power of God in your life. And you can see it in the church, and we see it in the world as well. You know, and you know what we've done? Listen, Jesus Christ, this is it. We have tried so hard to make the church attractive to the world. And it doesn't accomplish a cotton-picking thing. See, we're supposed to make Jesus Christ attractive to the world. And I thought about that a lot. Had one of them first cup of coffee mornings by the fireplace. Got that 1,000-yard stare. You know, it takes me like 2 cups before I got a pulse. I'm on cup number 1. I started thinking about it. How to make Jesus Christ attractive to the world. I mean, they got to see it in my life, right? They got to see it in me. They got to see it in us. I mean, it can't be, we can make the church attractive. Listen, I bring a circus in here and make the church attractive, but it's not going to change your life. Amen. Huh? We have to make Jesus Christ. We've operated so long in the flesh. We made a lot of noise, but we didn't have any breath of life in us, and it failed. And when we began to make Jesus Christ attractive to the world, then we'll win the world to Christ. That's the key right there. And the world has to see it in us. He said an exceeding great living army. Not a valley of bones. Not defeated. Not dragging along. Not gloom and doom. Not a bunch of complainers. But it was an exceeding great army. Man, standing on its feet and knew that they had life and knew that they had the victory right there. Man, that's a victorious, joyful. I don't know about you. If I was an old dead pile of bones, man, and all them snooze came on, I'd breathe life into me, man. I'd be grinning like a mule eating briars, man. I mean, I'd be out there, man, just fired up, man. I forgot. Victorious, joyful, powerful army. Huh? Powerful army. Why do you have an army to start with? Because you got an enemy. Huh? You got an enemy. A victorious life, man. This is the life that you can live. This is the blessing. This, you know, we think about blessings a lot. Oh, God, I want you to bless me. You want to run out to the mailbox and there's a $1 million check in there. That's not the blessings that God's given. God's given us the blessings that we can have a joyful life. Man, really, all you really want to be is happy anyway. It doesn't matter. And if we had $1 million, we'd blow it. And then we'd be sad because we blew the million. It's when the Spirit of God is, when God breathes into us the Spirit of life, man, and that produces the joy, man, I'm telling you, that's lasting. It's everlasting. And we have that. We can have the victory life. And I want to say, there's what valley, the question here in closing is, what valley are you living in? Are you in the valley of bones, man? You're dead. Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in that valley of bones, man. You're in the valley of death. And maybe you've think you've trusted Him, or maybe you've made some steps and all that, but you know, the Bible's clear on this. Now, I know you can't lose your salvation. I don't believe that. But I do believe this. And the Bible teaches it. We can quench the Spirit. Yeah. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can have the Holy Spirit of God so quenched and so grieved that we can't hear God speak. We can't feel God's presence. We don't do what God commands us to do, man. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing sadder in the world. There's nobody more unsatisfied in the world than a Christian that's out of fellowship with God. Just, there's nobody there. Man, nothing there. Listen, you can have a victorious life. You can have victory over sin, the death, the grave, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking Him to come here. That's how I got saved. How simple is this? Grew up believing in God all my life. Knew about the cross, didn't understand everything about it. And some people just wasn't in church. I mean, I believed that there was a God. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. I knew all that. I didn't know how to be saved. And somebody just came to my house. And a guy asked the simplest of questions. He said, "Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin coming to your life?" He said, "Well, show me." That's what the Bible says you need to do. And he's sharp as tack in the box. But I said, "If that's what you need to do, that's what I need to do. I really want that. If you really want that, you know, it's not a ceremonious act. Okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. No, it's in the heart. You gotta want it. And that's the pastor's. If I could figure this out, if I could write a book, I'd be a million billion bestseller. It's how can I make you want Jesus Christ? How can I make you want Him? I can't, other than showing you, you know, the benefits, the beauty, you know, the glory of God, the spiritual life. If I can show that to you, and if you can look at what you have, your life, and what God offers, if I can get you to see that, then I believe you'll want the life that God has for you. So maybe you're here today, maybe that's the life, maybe that's what you want. You don't have to know, you don't have to have a theological degree and know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and all of that and understand Greek and you don't have to know that. You just have to know, hey, listen, I'm dead, I'm lost, I don't have the breath of the life of God in me, and I want that, and I'm going to just come up and ask God for it, and I'm going to tell you, He'll give it to you. If that's you today, you come forward. Let's all stand. Paul, you come.